The Becoming and Silence podcast is about awakening to the greatest potential you always were. Listen to teachings, interviews, and inspiring stories of others who have challenged the accepted, expanded possibility, and merged modern-day life with ancient wisdom to discover their greatest potential. When you become fearless, you become limitless. Now be inspired by today's episode. Well, welcome to the Becoming Unsilenced podcast, where we encourage you to awaken to your greatest potential. And today, our conversation is going to be about money and how to awaken to your greatest money potential. And my guest is Naz Echeverria, business strategist and a coach that I've worked with in my entrepreneurial journey. And Naz, I just love the rapport that we had when I was working with you as a business strategist, and it's, you know, what has led to this conversation today. And so I'm just super excited to have you here. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about you.
Thank you, Vicki. It's a pleasure to be here. And I thank you for allowing me to be here. So I, as Vicki said, I'm a business growth strategist. I love supporting female entrepreneurs who just want to grow and scale their businesses. But we're here today to talk about our money story and that relationship that women have with money. And I feel like it's a really good conversation to have. And it's one I struggled with for a very long time. So I'm just super thrilled to be here to chat and shed some light and help however I can.
That's awesome. Awesome. And I know that during my time of working with you, that this last year for me has been really a journey of facing my money fears, my money stories. And even though I thought I'd done that many times in the past, but it's, you know, kind of at a new level. And so that kind of was part of the work that wove in between you and I. But where would you like to dive into this conversation today?
So why don't I share a quick little story about how kind of my relationship with money and why it became so important for me to like, I didn't plan on having money conversations in my business and with my clients. I never thought of this as being important. So I kind of feel like sometimes it's important to share that journey and what shifted for me, because sometimes it helps recognize how it kind of showed up for us as well. Does that make sense for you?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah. So I always tell people that I grew up as first generation in the United States. My parents are from Iran. They came here on a student visa with no money in their pocket, nothing to show for it. And they worked their butts off. And it was really important to them to kind of build this on their own. So they were entrepreneurs from the get-go. My mom had like a cleaning business while they were in college. I joke that my dad had actually worked in, one of them worked in the bookstore and one of them worked in the cafeteria so that they would have enough money to pay for those things and be able to have that, but also get free books and free food.
Oh, funny. Yeah. Okay.
So I thought
they really were smart about how they were strategizing.
So smart, because, you know, they came to this country with no money in their pockets. They didn't barely know the language. They didn't know anybody. So they knew they had to get smart about things. And my mom came from a family of 8 brothers and sisters, and they barely got by. And my dad came from a well-to-do family, but they didn't give him any money because when he came here, he was on his own. So for me, hearing that story growing up, I realized very quickly that money was, you know, something to be earned and something to be gained, but something to be careful with. So my dad actually became an entrepreneur. I think when I was like 6 or 7 years old, he actually went into his own business, like shifted from working with a company into his own business. And I vividly remember my mom telling me, be careful with anything that you, any money. And I was like, what does that mean? And she's like, for example, don't spill any shampoo in the shower because your dad just started his own business and I don't know if we're going to be able to afford things. And I still remember that visual of like, don't spill the shampoo in the shower. Like that's even just like pennies that mattered. And so it kind of shifted my whole relationship with money, and not in a bad way, but I definitely feel like it held something over in me for a very long time. And my parents, you know, like struggled for a while to like get that going. So as a matter of that, we were very careful, and I was taught to like be very careful with money. Like We don't spend it. My parents were the type who was like, well, do you really need new clothes? And nothing wrong with it. Again, I think there was some smart moves in how we do that. But I remember my relationship with money was always, I was fearful of it. I was scared of it and I didn't want to let it go. So I actually started working at the age of 14. And by the time I was 16, I was actually working and making like $3,000 to $4,000 a month because I was so attached with make more money, save your money, have money. And I feel like that was like a big shift that happened for me that when I look back on it, when I turned to becoming an entrepreneur myself, I looked back on it and I had this fear of like, my money disappearing and not being able to make more of it. And oh my gosh, what do I do? And that was my relationship with money for a very long time.
Scarcity. Scarcity. Kind of sum that up is there's not enough to go around. I've got to hang on to it. I don't know when I'm going to get more.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's scary. And I mean, I feel like we all have a slight bit of scarcity unless we come from a family that, you know, treated this very differently. And my husband came from a family who treated money very differently. And when we have that conversation, I'm always so surprised at like how they would go on vacation and enjoy it and like not think about money. And my family was very like worried about where does this money and like, what are we, and it's just a difference in that. But then I didn't ever realize how that had kind of imprinted on me and my money story and the relationship I had with money along the way.
So when did you begin to kind of grasp that this had imprinted on you?
I think it took me a really long time. So I told you that I had worked from when I was 14. By the time I was in college, I was working full-time in a bank who paid for my college education and all that. So I was like super cautious, but I was proud. Like I was the proud cheapskate. Just for lack of a better word. I was so proud of that. I still remember my father-in-law saying to me, like, you always look for the best deals. You always like my husband jokes, I would drive 10 extra miles to go to the next store so that I would save 20 cents on something. And quality of life-wise, I worried about every dollar I spent. So I even up until I would say it was probably, I'm 37 now. I want to say it's probably been 6 years that this has shifted. So for 31 years of my life, I lived in fear of money and like not making enough of it and having that scarcity mindset around it.
So let's freeze frame that story right now, what that you're telling it. And let's go to what's your mindset around money today? And then let's talk about the shift that happened. Yeah.
Such a good conversation because it was a huge shift for me. I used to think about every dollar I spent. And I remember going to the store, coming back home and looking at the receipt and having like mini panic attacks over, oh my gosh, I spent too much. Oh my gosh, what did I do here? And my husband would be like, what was going on? Like, it was truly difficult. And shift back to now where I jokingly tell my husband, I don't remember the last time I've looked at my bank account. I don't pay attention to these things. They're not important to me. I even vividly remember taking my kids out and spending $800 on a bunch of new clothes and not like spending frivolously, just like not worrying about it, not thinking to myself, oh my gosh, how am I going to pay for this? And why am I spending this money? Is this really important? Should I do these things? But just relaxing and enjoying. Like lately we've been taking these vacations where we get the 2-bedroom suites and we enjoy and we get the drinks by the pool, the $15 drinks that I used to be like, well, who does this? No.
Yeah. So you're allowing yourself to enjoy without that fear of lack.
Yes. So in such a difference, it's a difference in the quality of life that you create when you remove that lack and remove that scarcity and realize money's a tool, but it's a tool that we can continue to create and we can continue to optimize and not worry so much about it.
So what sparked the shift from scarcity to what I would kind of classify more as abundance mindset or this prosperity? I don't like to use the word prosperity because there's so many different connotations, but abundance of enough of everything to go around in the world.
So my situation was a little different, which I hope nobody has to go through this to get there. But my daughter, my youngest, who is now 5 and a half, she nearly died when she was born. So at 4 days old, she had a very traumatic experience and had a bilateral stroke and all this. That woke me up in all aspects of my life, where suddenly I went from worrying about money and worrying about who liked me and who didn't like me to thinking, what am I doing with my life? Like, life is precious and we don't get unlimited amount of time and all this stuff. And yet here we are worrying about these silly things. And so the big shift for me was honestly going through this crazy traumatic experience with my daughter and worrying if she would make it, if she would live, because we were told she might not. And kind of having to do a double take on my entire existence and thinking, what am I doing? Like, is this the life you want to be living? Is this, are you enjoying what you're doing? And kind of just reevaluating everything along the lines of that, because it really does wake you up. But I don't want people to go through that same, have to go through these like traumatic experiences in order to see that. But that was definitely what changed for me.
Yeah. And that's why we're having these conversations, is so people can realize there are ways to shift without, you know, I think people change because of pain or because of pleasure. And most of us change because of pain and not because of pleasure. So the most important conversation to start with is, your daughter is doing well today, right?
She is a absolute miracle. Like, I'm telling you, she was in the NICU for 21 days with a very severe case of meningitis that had led to a bilateral stroke. She is absolutely a miracle. Just everyone who sees her and looks at her diagnosis and what had happened to her and says, how is this the same person? And I think that was a big shift too, is like, she had gotten a diagnosis of pretty much her life would never be normal. That was what I was told. And being able to look at life from her eyes and say to myself, people can put something on you and say to you that you're going to live a life a certain way. And you can either choose to let that be your diagnosis, your decision for your life, or you can say no. And I joke that my daughter is the most ferocious, like, she is just someone who does not listen to, and she's little, but she's still like, if we ever doubted her, she would show you that, nope, that's not the case for me. Like when they said, you might not walk, you might not talk, she's like, no, let me show you. I'm going to jump off of things and I'm going to talk your ear off.
I think that's so important what you just said there, because, and it's why in my work, like, I don't believe in labeling things, because when you call something a label, then the tendency is to feel like I've got to live up to that label. Yeah. Or even if it's how you're interacting with someone else, if you've labeled that person a narcissist or whatever it is, you now act as if that person was that thing, when in reality, they are a human being who probably is hurting and displaying some hurt characteristics. But
couldn't agree more.
So what did you notice? Your daughter's in the NICU, you have this kind of instantaneous, almost shift of priorities. How did you begin to notice that shift in the days ahead?
So, I mean, it's kind of like that. I hear about these stories about how your like life flashes before your eyes, and it really does. It's a crazy thing. Like being in the hospital, I don't remember so much, but I remember my life just kind of like being thrown before my eyes. But I actually remember sitting there and saying, I prayed to God and said, God, if you can save my daughter, I will change my life. And like thinking about that now makes me teary eyed to say, like,
goosebumps to
I sat there. Well, and I sadly say, like, we had my daughter baptized because we didn't think she would make it. Like they told us, do what you need to do to prepare for that. So I remember having her baptized and sitting there and praying in my head and saying, if you would just give me my daughter back, I promise you, I will do whatever it takes. I will change everything. And so I held true to my promise and said, I will make that decision. But it really was this like shift that happened where I was like, we are not promised anything. Like, I truly believe that we are not promised anything in any life. It doesn't matter what we're doing. And yet we don't really realize that. And so that shift that happened was I was no longer willing to play small, be small, do things differently, not listen to myself, not trust myself in a bigger calling, and not hear my intuition in what I had to say. So I chose in that moment, because the story actually goes deeper of like a lot of doctors had turned me away and said, she's fine, there's nothing wrong with her. And I pushed and pushed. And so even in that, I learned to trust my intuition and to believe that there's something deeper calling within each and every one of us. We just don't always choose to listen.
Yeah, that's so true. That inner nudge of that inner spirit. And it's always, I call it the eyes of your soul, because it's like it sees ahead of you so far. And often it doesn't make sense, but when we learn to trust it, it's life-changing.
Life-changing, absolutely.
How did that impact your business?
Great question. So it's something I call unconditional growth. This idea and this belief of what I call unconditional growth was born from that, where rather than seeing life as like, well, I haven't reached this goal and I haven't done this thing, and feeling like we've put these conditions on our lives, on our growth, on anything. And it's not just business. And I jokingly tell people, like, I was the person who was never really like that amazing. There was nothing great about me. And so I told myself, well, I'm not great at anything. And so I call these the conditions of growth, whether it's personal or in business. I had a lot of conditions that said to myself, well, I haven't done this, so I'm not this. So it was like a conditional analysis of who I was. And so I removed those conditions and I told myself, what if you are everything you're meant to be now? What if you already have all of those things? What if you removed those conditions and told yourself it's not about time and I didn't make enough money and I didn't do all these things, and you just stood in this belief that you are meant for impact? And that shift turned my business upside down, where in the best way possible, where I kind of took away all these beliefs and thoughts and conditions and things that I had told myself and beliefs that I had been had and put on me for so long, and said, I'm just going to do this the way I want to do this, because I had started my business, you know, 10 years ago. And so it was halfway through the journey where I was like, no, I'm done with this. And my business exploded from there. It was insane, like the change that happened from that. And it really did just come from a place of, I'm going to take away all of these things and I'm just going to be here. I'm going to show up in the feeling and the want of what I wanted to support and serve people. And that was what I did. And it really did just change everything from there.
And I met you on the
other side
of that journey and hearing your story and inspiration. And one of the things I love about you is your authenticity of what do you call it? Your no bull or no fluff.
No fluff strategy.
No fluff strategy. There you go. And but one of the things that sparked this conversation today was you caught some flack in a Facebook group when you were talking about the income that you're generating today.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had posted in a very large women's entrepreneur groups that's literally meant to like support others. And I had posted about how I was so proud of hitting $100,000 in 3 months with 15 hours a week, working 15 hours a week with 3 kids home. And so many people had come back and said, show me proof. Oh my gosh, I don't believe it. This is a hoax. This is like so much. And old me would have gone into a bubble and been like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And I was so shocked by the response, because I feel like as women, we have this negative thought around money. And I would tell you right now that I'm not a man versus woman type thing, but I think men have this relationship with money, where we believe in this idea of being able to accomplish these big, crazy, huge goals and not doubting it, not feeling like that's preposterous and crazy. And yet as women, I think we have these fears around money and that's what I saw when people are responding in the ways that they did and said, this is a scam and all this stuff. I truly saw that was their fears just kind of being imposed on in this way. But it kind of like made me realize how much this really is happening for women, that we really do have this money story that we tell ourselves, this is not possible. We aren't capable, especially as moms. Like, can we really do all of these things and be able to accomplish these goals? And we tell ourselves no. And I think that that's a big fear that comes out for a lot of women.
Do you think some of that is culturally passed down? You know, when you look at the history of our world, it's not been that long that women in the United States have been able to own property in their name and have a bank account, which just absolutely blows my mind when it looks at literally, you know, in my grandma's generation, voting, you know, being legitimized to own property. Like, it's so recent in our history that women haven't been respected and granted those rights. And I wonder how much of that attitude around money has been passed down from my grandma to my mom to me.
I actually did like a whole live training on this one time where we talked about beliefs and where beliefs come from and what those that are imposed on us and those that we choose, right? And I truly do believe that a lot of these things are things that are imposed upon us. But I also like to say we all have the free will of being able to recognize that and shift that.
And
but
choose differently.
And I think that's the difficult part, right? Is like, I jokingly in my life talked about how, like, as a kid, I was told that you shouldn't go to sleep with your hair wet because you're going to catch a cold, right? And that was like a belief system that I had built. And it wasn't until I had my own kids where I looked it up one day and it was like totally false. You do not get sick from having wet hair, right? But it was a belief system I was told, I inherited, I utilized, and I continued on until I chose to say, is this real? Like, to push back on it a little bit. So I totally agree with you. I absolutely do. And I think in general, the shifts that are being had, it's hard for us to wrap it around it. And like, I joke even now, like my mom, who I love her to death, still says to me, why do you want to work? Like, just why don't you not work and take care? And to me, it's like, it's not about just money. I mean, yes, it's beautiful to have money. I'd love to be able to do like make $1 million and all of those things. But it's also just this thought process around money. Like, do you really need money, or let the husband make the money, versus seeing it as like, everyone has their own money journey and we should all experience it in the ways that we want to, male or female. But I think that that shift that needs to happen isn't happening for a lot of women, and we're staying stuck in that condition, that thought process.
Yeah. And that's why we wanted to have this conversation, was to expose that thought process, to shed light on it, and then to bring a new conversation. Because I remember when I was working in the corporate world and I hit six figures in income, and I was ashamed to tell anyone.
Yep.
And I kept it so secret. Even I remember, you know, telling my mom, like whispering, almost like literally like whispering it to my mom and saying, but don't tell, you know, my sisters, because there was this shame that somehow, maybe that shame was rooted in, I'm not deserving of this. If somebody figures out who I really am, they're going to take that away from me. And also this fear of jealousy and of lashback that you saw in that Facebook group. So how can women begin to come together and cheer each other on and celebrate pushing each other to these levels of growth instead of shaming each other?
And I think that's a powerful conversation, right? Like, we have been taught as people, as women, humility. Don't brag, be humble, don't talk about the things you do. And I felt the same way, where I remember having saved $100,000 and saying, oh my gosh, but don't tell anyone. Don't, like, it's got to be a secret. Like, you don't want to make anyone feel bad. I think that was my thought process, right? Like, I don't want to make anyone feel bad. But the truth of the matter is, I now see money as a tool for inspiration. Like, I don't tell people I made $100,000 in 3 months to piss them off or to make them feel less than. I say that as possibilities, right? Like, I share that as possibilities. But I'll also say, like I said, 5 years ago, I saw people talking about hitting 30K months or 50K months and saying, making these excuses in my head saying, well, they don't have kids. They don't have that. I tell myself that those weren't possible for me because of whatever conditions I had. But I think the truth of the matter is when we allow ourselves to believe in money as this inspiration, as this opportunity, rather than like as a divisive tool of like, oh, you're not there yet. And I think that's on both ends is like, for me, I share it knowing that if I have a lash back, I'm not doing it to brag. I'm doing it because I want you to see what's possible. I want you to believe bigger and see opportunity, even as a mom of three, even as like, even with all those conditions we put in our head. So I feel like it's an important part of my journey to share that, because if I don't, then you're still stuck in this idea of thinking. And I think that's the way I view it now. But then on the other side, I know what it felt like looking at people who were making that money and saying, no, that's not possible. They're lying, or they have this. And I think it's just a matter of self-realization and saying to myself, I believe that I'm capable of making this money. I believe I'm worthy of making this money. I believe that money is an opportunity, and seeing it as more like that versus like this evil spirit of money taking over our lives and stuff like that.
Yeah, I love that. And it's also why the name of this podcast is called Becoming Unsilenced, because if we don't shine our light for people who need to see that light, they don't have anything to move forward to. And I work a lot with NLP and the functions of the brain. And when you think about any time something was built or created, we first have a map, right? Mm-hmm. And by you sharing that example out there, it gives a lot of women a map of what's possible that they may not have. And so if it's the first time that map is being planted into their awareness, there's probably a lot more resistance to it than if it's really growing and they're really embracing the possibilities in their own life when they're further down that road of allowing that seed to bloom within them. They're like, oh, I hear that now. I resonate with it. Now I can hear the message that she's sharing.
Yeah, I totally agree. Absolutely.
So women and their relationship with money. I think that one of the things that's helped me on my own money journey and story is to feel like I have a relationship with money. I think before I always felt like money was a persecutor, like it was always there to torment me or to rescue me. It was either the high or the low of it and nothing in between. And I lived in my own life a long time where, you know, I made my decisions based on the balance of my bank account, not what was in the intuition of my heart. And it's one of the things over the last 18 months for me has been, I no longer make decisions by the balance of my bank account, trust in the abundant world that is around me and in the intuition of my heart and spirit to guide me in that way.
I love that. That's beautiful. It's such, and it's empowering, right? Like that shift that happens, it's almost like this weight that's taken off of your shoulders, your heart and your brain and all the things that you feel so inhibited by. And I feel like that's what scares me for women with money, is that money has become an inhibition. It's become something that like holds us back from so many things versus having a belief in what we do, right? Like our beliefs are based on us. It's not based on money. It's not based on any other things telling us what we're capable of. It's our choice to choose what we believe in. And I feel like I want to change that. I want people to feel how you feel about finally realizing they're making decisions, not from a place of money, not from that place of scarcity, but believing in their possibilities and what they can accomplish.
Being proud of it when they do accomplish that. Darn, you know, not being ashamed and hiding it under a bushel, as the old saying used to go. I don't know ever who hid anything under a bushel to create that saying, but So, well, as we wind this conversation down, if somebody had been listening today and they're like, wow, I do recognize that I'm on this fearful side of money, do you have a resource or something you would suggest or steer them to?
Yeah. So I actually have something called the Easy Yes Lead System. It's the reason why I would send you there is because I talk about the relationship with money, but I also talk about how we are the person who makes the decisions of where we go. So I talk about creating that map. So for those who are in business and, you know, want to create a map for themselves and they want to understand how they are the leader and the guide of where their money opportunities are, this, it's called the Easy Yes System. You can go to easyyesleads.com or Easy Yes System. It goes to either one.
Perfect. We'll pop it in the show notes. Perfect. As well.
Yeah. And you can go there and check it out. And it kind of walks you through how your journey with leads and money really comes from a place of understanding who you are and what you bring to the table. And that's what I want to help people with.
That's phenomenal. And I would also suggest a resource that's been life-changing for me in around money is the book called It's Not Your Money by Tosha Silver. She really has a cool way of dissolving those old money beliefs and blocks and helping one to embrace the possibilities. So
I love that. That's amazing.
So as two questions I always ask everyone who guests on the show. And the first one is, how has this journey with money helped you to become unsilenced in your own life?
I think it finally gave me a voice, to be honest with you, kind of taking away all those fears and those beliefs and those thoughts that came, gave me a voice to say, I can speak loudly and proudly and boldly and feel okay with it. Even if someone lashes back, even if someone comes back and has something to say, it didn't break me. And it let me feel stronger than ever before. And I think that that shift happened from believing in myself and that thought process. So I think that's how it helped me become unsilenced, was really being able to like say, I can speak loudly and proudly and say what I want to say and not be fearful of what's going to come back to me.
I love that. I love that. And you talked about intuition earlier when you were sharing about knowing that your daughter needed some help. And so how has connecting with your own intuition, inner spirit, allowed you to grow to the greatest of your potential?
Honestly, I used to question everything. I used to be a logical thinker about everything I did and worry about everything. And now it's incredible. I can make such quick and swift decisions that feel so empowering and so amazing. And I think that really does come from a place of believing in my intuition and trusting that and not feeling held back by logic and thoughts and all these analytical things that we put together, and just allowing myself to say, you make good decisions, and choosing to listen to those decisions and following that intuition to make good and bad decisions along the way and allow that to happen and not feeling so fearful of it.
Love it. Love it. And what parting word of advice would you give to a woman facing her own money journey?
Make your own money story. Like, stop letting all the beliefs you've had and all those thoughts, allow yourself to release those, allow yourself to see how they built you to where you are. Like, that's why I say, I look back on my money story and I don't feel bad. I don't feel angry at my family for what happened. I look back on it and say, I've become this person because of that. But I get to now make the decision going forward in my life and say, what do I want to do with that story? What do I want to take from what I've been taught and the beliefs I've had? And being able to say, everyone at any given point in time has that opportunity to say, what do I choose to take from the experiences and the stories I've had to create my own new life and my new opportunities? So look for those in your life. Be willing to look back at the experiences you've had and the beliefs you've had, and be able to create brand new ones that allow you to literally grow without any conditions and grow without limits.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Naz, for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I look forward to how our paths continue to cross in the future and maybe another episode in the future. But I guess it's time now for us to say goodbye and we'll see you next time down the road. And in the meantime, just keep doing the work that you're doing of shining your authentic light and message out there.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a pleasure being on here.
All right. Take care. See you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for being here. If you have a topic or question you want to hear more about, send it to us at the email below. Have an inspired day.